morning. Today's daf and Shabbos Kuf Yud Beis. We are starting this morning on the very top of Kuf Yud Beis and Aleph at the two dots. Mafteach Chalukah. We started yesterday the 15th parak of Masechet Shabbos. 15th parak opens up with the malacha of kosher. One of the malachas of Shabbos is not allowed to tie a knot together. And with that stated, what was its function in the Beis Hamikdash? So we know that Kshira was involved in the Beis Hamikdash in a number of activities, but primarily regarding the covering of the Mishkan. So there were a number of occasions over there that things needed to be tied. And so the malacha of kosher is one of the 39. What we discussed yesterday are the three levels of the malacha of kosher, where under certain circumstances, it's an issa d'oraisa. Under others, it's an issa d'rabbanan, and under other circumstances, it's mutar lagamrei. So we have three different levels in terms of the malacha of kosher. And what we learned yesterday through the two Mishnayos and the Gemara putting together, synthesizing the two Mishnayos, is that basically the levels look like this. Now, there are two ways to present this. There's Rashi's way to present it, and then there's the Rambam's way to present it. I did it at the end of yesterday. I'm just going to review quickly this morning. Let's do it like Rashi. Rashi's presentation over here is that everything really is a function of duration. How long are we planning to make the knot and keep the knot there? So if it's a permanent knot, so Rashi says that one of the opening Rashis in the Mishnah, it is the opening Rashi of the Mishnah. She'ena matira la'olam. Rashi writes in the first Mishnah, in the first Dibur HaMaskel. You don't plan on untying it indefinitely. And under those circumstances, so that is an issur d'oraisa. That's kosher, the malach of kosher mid'oraisa. It doesn't matter what kind of knot you're making, as long as you plan on leaving there as a permanent knot. So then it is going to be an issur d'oraisa. Issur d'rabbanan, you plan on leaving it there for a while. Okay, indescript time, but not indefinitely. And that's an issur d'rabbanan. And then there's the mutar lagamrei, where you're planning on tying it and untying it on a daily basis. So that's mutar lagamrei. So for Rashi, everything is just simply a function of duration. On the other hand, there's shitas of Rambam. Rambam says that there actually are two factors that would make an issur d'oraisa. One is duration, it has to be permanent, and two, it has to be professional knot. The kind of knot that's put together by some sort of skilled knot worker. Now, we're talking about skilled knot workers, so we gave two examples yesterday. A sailor, when he docks his boat, so he's going to be making a knot, so the kind of knot that he's making is going to be a skilled knot. And so that is one example of something which is a maisa uman. The other example that we gave yesterday is a camel driver, where he is now tying the nose ring into the camel itself. And if it's a ring or if it's some sort of loop, but in other words, he ties it and he ties it permanently. Again, it's not only a permanent, but it's a skilled knot as well. So according to the Rambam, when you have both features of it being tied there permanently and it's also a skilled knot, then and only then it's a issa d'oraisa. Because the Rambam continues to write, but if I take out one of those two factors, either it's a skilled knot, but I don't plan on living it there permanently, or it's a permanent knot, but it's not a professional knot. So under those circumstances, the Rambam says not an issa d'oraisa, drops to an issa d'rabbanan. And then when both factors are removed, now it becomes mutar lagamrei. Good. So that is the debate between Rashi and the Rambam in terms of how to go through the three categories. Good. With all that stated, we're now going to go start with the Gemara that we ended up with yesterday, Mafteach Chalukah. We're going at the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. There were two Mishnahs in the beginning of the Perek. We're looking at the second Mishnah, and we're looking at some of the allowances that were given in the second Mishnah. The Gemara wants to know, these are mutar lagamrei. What exactly are the chidushim of the Mishnah? The mafteach chalukah pshita. So we said that a woman can tie and untie. She has some sort of wrap that she is wearing. It requires her to tie it, but because it's tie and untie on a daily basis, it's mutar lagamrei. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand the principle, but why specifically this example given in the Mishnah must be a chiddush? The Gemara says, yeah, there's a chiddush. So the Gemara says, actually, in order for her to put it on, so there are two straps, meaning two areas that are going to get tied together. And now the Gemara says, here's what I might have thought. That if, let's say, for example, she needs to tie and untie it, but she doesn't necessarily have to tie and untie both of them. Meaning what she can do is that she can untie one of them, and that'll give enough allowance, enough room for her to take it off and to put it back on again. So one could have made the argument that because she only has to untie one of them, and the other straps she doesn't have to untie, it could very well be that she is going to leave it there for a duration of time. And now we could be looking at possibly Nisa de Rabbanan. So that's the consideration. The Chiddush of the Gemara is that no, that generally speaking, she's going to untie both in order to put it on, untie both to take it off. So the Gemara says that that's the Chiddush of that case. Next case, Chutei Svacha. Now we're talking about something she's wearing on her head, some sort of head covering. Pshita, the Gemara says again, if it's tied on to her head, so and it's tied and untied on a daily basis, it's obvious. Pshita. Lotzricha de Rav Chilei. So the Gemara says, well, could very well be that she didn't tie it on so tightly. As a result of that, Ma'od Tema, Mishlaf Shlaf Shafalaf. Could very well be that in order for her to take it off, she doesn't have to untie it. She could just simply take it off her head and put it back on again without the need to tie and untie it. And again, now the duration of her tying this could extend for more than 24 hours. And that's what I might have thought. And that's why it possibly could have been Nisa Durabanan. So Kamashman Deisha Chasa Al Sara Mishrei Shayala. So the Gemara says, yeah, but a woman is careful about her hair. She's particular about her hair. She's going to want to make sure that it's tied and untied on a daily basis. So the Gemara says that this is something which she will do on a daily basis. And so therefore, there is no concern. Okay, so the cases that were given in the Mishnah are because there is a possibility that we would have thought that they should be not allowed. And that's why the Mishnah has to give these two cases to demonstrate to us, to inform us that there is a heter gamur to tie and untie these various clothing articles. Now we're talking about the shoes and the shoe straps. Back in the day, so the shoes came in two different forms. There's a minnow, which is basically like the shoes that we have nowadays. They had a sole and they had uppers. And then there's a sandal, much like the sandal, which only had a sole but had no uppers. And the way that the sandal was worn, the straps were tied. There must be obviously differences between the quote-unquote modern shoe, modern sandal, versus the one they had back then. But functionally speaking, we're basically looking at the same thing. Now, if I were to untie either the straps of the shoe or the sandal, so is one going to be in violation? Because as we learned yesterday, so there are two twin malachos. One is kosher tying and the other one is matir, untying. And we learned yesterday that they are mirror images of one another. Kosher is when I tie something permanently. And matir is when I tie something that was permanent. So, under those circumstances, the Gemara now is going to be discussing the straps of the shoes and the sandals. And here we have three brises that describe what happens if you untie. Tani chadim will enter one brise chayiv chatas, it's an issur d'oraisa, v'tani yidach, and another brise of patar v'asur, it's an issur d'rabbanan. V'tani yidach mutar l'chatchila, it's mutar l'gamre. And these brises are describing both shoe and sandal. Now, which one is it? So you're given multiple choice over here. It's got to be one of the three. Can't be all three. But the Gemara says, no, actually it can be all three. Kasha minal minal, kasha sandal sandal. So the Gemara says, we're going to address both the shoe and the sandal. Minal minal o kasha, there's no problem in understanding. How could there possibly be three levels by a shoe? So we're going to go now level number one, the Issa D'Oraisa. How diktani chayev chatas be'udish be'deush kapei. We're talking about the shoemaker himself. The shoemaker himself, when constructing the shoe, so there are going to be a couple of things that he's tying together. So here we have a circumstance where he's tying and basically putting the shoe together. Obviously, the knot that he's creating is a permanent knot. We're not talking about the laces of the shoe. We're talking about the actual construction of the shoe itself. All ties over there, all knots over there are clearly meant to be done on a permanent basis. And by the way, if you just want to see the Gemara through the eyes of the Rambam, so that also is another way that bolsters his position that why is the Gemara now choosing the actual shoemaker himself? Because it's Maisa Uman. It's Kesha Shal Uman. It's done by a craftsman. That's an Issa D'Oraisa. Now, Pater Aval Aser, what's level number two? But the Rabbanan shoes that are worn by the rabbi. What's so unique about the shoes that's worn by the rabbis? Rashi writes. I'm reading the Rashi. But the Rabbanan, Kesha Koshim Saviv Raglaim, Ein Koshim Bedochik. The rabbis, when they put on their shoes, they didn't put them on tight. And sometimes what they're going to do is they're going to take it off even while tied, right? Like penny loafers, like, by the way, but penny loafers have no ties on them whatsoever. So in other words, they would not tie their shoes tightly. Now, there are going to be occasions, right, at time to time, where they're going to be walking through mud, and they know they don't want to lose the shoe, so what they're going to do is they're going to tie their shoe tightly, untie and tie the shoe tightly in order so that as they walk through the mud, they're not going to lose their shoe. So here we have a circumstance in which they're not tied, untied on a daily basis. They're not left there permanently, somewhere in between. That is level number two. And finally, level number three, the members of the city of Mechuza. We already talked about the pampered life of Mechuza. People living out there in Mechuza, so they are very spoiled. The Gemara mentions it a number of times. And for them, tying and untying their shoes is absolutely a necessity on a daily basis. So for them, because they're tying and untying daily, mutter legamri, totally permissible. That's all by shoes. Now we're up to sandals. We're going to do the same thing. Sando sandalo kasha had dektani chayv chatas, videtaya dekatre ushkape. So as far as the sandals concerned, the same basic idea. We're talking about the construction of the sandal where there are going to be actual straps that are tied into the sandal. So under those circumstances, obviously, it's meant to be lasting permanently. And so that is an issa d'oraisa. Patalava asar viduchumrasa dekatre inum. And as far as the second category is going to be where they are tied viduchumrasa. What does that mean? Again, I turn to Rashi. Elu sandalam, I'm reading the Rashi. Elu sandalam shel shar nashim, she'en ritzu is kvuin bahem. We're talking about the sandals of others where the straps are not permanently tied in there. Ayide uman, it's not done by a craftsman. Elohim atzmam koshim osam, v'chumrasa ba'ama. These straps are just basically put together by the actual end user, by the consumer. The koshrin umatirin, and they tie and untie umpamim, Shemiskayim Shabbos HaChodesh. Sometimes they'll last a week, sometimes they'll last a month. Again, somewhere in between daily tying and untying versus permanently left there. So that is an Isser D'Rabbanan. And Mutla Chatzchila B'Sandal D'Nafke Bei Trey. And as far as when would it be that it would be Mutla Gamre, let's say the sandal is shared by two people. And the Gemara is going to give us an example of this via a story. So he had a pair of sandals. Zimnan denafik be'iu, zimnan denafik be'yunuka. And he shared it with a young kid. Obviously, their shoe sizes are not the same. It's clear, in the time of the Gemara, shoe sizes were not as accurate as we have it now. In other words, the size of the shoe, the size of the sole, was not that critical. And in terms of fitting it onto your foot, so obviously the straps of the sandals would be the ones that would be holding it to your feet. So over here, so he shared it with a kid. Now, obviously, the straps had to have been adjusted every single time he passed it from him to the kid. So, and he wanted to know the tying and untying of this particular sandal, mutar asur. Also, so he goes to Abaye, Amaleki, I gav namai, and he asks the shaila to Abaye, can I tie and untie these sandals on Shabbos? Amaleki, I have. Now, Abaye gives an answer, and Abaye starts off with, it's an issa d'oraisa. And Amar Lay, he says, well, wait 1 second. I was not ready for that answer. I only was curious to know, is it Mutta Lagamre? Or are we talking about Issa Durabanan? And you went all the way over there. And Chayev Chatzis Kamartli, and you said Chayev Chatzis, I was not expecting that. My time, Amar Lay, Mishum Debechol Nami Zimna Nafik Nabei, Ana Zimna Nafik Bei Yenuka. He says, look, here's what happened. Is that I'm sharing these sandals together with a young kid, presumably his son, and whatever the case is, and I'm sharing them, and every time that we take it, we have to tie and untie it because we have to adjust it to our feet. So we're tying and untying it all the time. Amalei Abaye says, oh, now that I'm given all the information, ihachi mutar lechatchila. Oh, so then it's mutter, totally permissible, because it is tied and untied on a regular basis, and so therefore it falls under category number three, it's mutter legamri. Rabbi Yirmiyah Hava Azra Basrei de Rabbi Abau Becarmelis. Rabbi Yirmiyah was following Rabbi Abau through a Carmelis, a domain that is an Isser de Rabbanan to carry in such an area. Isser Gretzur de Sandalay. Now, as they're walking, The strap of a sandal broke. The strap of Rabbi Yirmiyah's sandal broke. Amarle mina avile. So he says, okay, what can I do now? So Amarle shkol gemi lach dechazi lamaicha behema ukur chilave. So make a makeshift strap. Now, in order to do this, you have to take something that is not a muksa item. And so he pointed him in the direction of taking a reed, literally a moist reed, taking a reed, and strapping that reed through his sandal. And the reed, because it is edible by animals, it is a non-muksa item. And basically what you could do now is you can make a makeshift strap from this reed in order to save your sandal. Now, Abaye have a kai coming to Rav Yosef. Now, the Gemara tells a similar story with Abaye and Rav Yosef. If say like Resua, he was wearing a sandal on Shabbos, the strap broke. Amalei Mayavile. And he asks, what can I do? Amalei, so Rav Yosef says to Abaye, Shavke, leave your sandal here. Come back for it after Shabbos. Maishnam and Rav Yirmiyah. He says, wait 1 second. Rav Yirmiyah was given an allowance to make a makeshift strap. Why can't I do the same thing? Hasam lominter hachaminter. So the Gemara says no. The difference is that there, in the Carmelis area, it's an unprotected area. If he leaves a sandal over there, he may not be able to get it after Shabbos. At worst, we're talking about issa derabbanan for him to move it. I felt that if we were strict in that scenario, so then he would be he'd be tempted to move it, even though it's not currently functional. So I told him to go ahead and make a makeshift strap, make it from a non-muksa item. So over there, we were more mako. Over here, you lost your sandal in an area that is a protected area. You're going to have no problem coming after Shabbos, retaining your sandal. And so there is no room for any kind of allowance in this scenario over here. Now, v'hamanahu. Now, the Gemara over here deals with a very fundamental issue, and that is the following. What are we looking at over here? We're looking at a sandal where a strap of the sandal broke. And now the question is a sandal that is partially broken, a tear in one strap, is that now have the status of a kli or does not have the status of the kli? In both of the circumstances that we just went through, in the Rav Yirmiyah situation and in the Rav Yehuda situation, in both of those, in the Rav Yirmiyah and the Baye circumstance, we both started off with the assumption that if you have a sandal and one strap broke, at that point in time, the sandal now becomes no longer a kli. It basically is rendered a muksa item on Shabbos itself. And the only thing that we could consider is maybe reconstructing the sandal using a non-muksa item. Rav Yirmiyah was given the allowance, Abaye was not. But the assumption going into both of these questions is that when one strap breaks, it's no longer a kli. And now the Gemara says, can we just challenge that assumption? If one strap on the sandal breaks, does it really lose the status of being a kli? V'amanahu. Now, the ibay afich nalei miyamin l'smol. Because here's what you could do. You can move the shoe over from the sandal over from the right to the left. And here is what the Gemara is thinking right now. Is that, first of all, back in the day, our shoes are designed for the right foot versus the left foot. Seems pretty clear from the Gemara's discussion right now that that's not necessarily the case. Certainly with sandals, that was not necessarily the case. Sandals are interchangeable between the right foot and the left foot. That's point number one. Point number two is that the sandal strap breaking, and therefore the need now to fix the sandal, it actually matters whether or not it's the inside strap that breaks, meaning the one that is in on the inside where one foot faces the other, or is on the outside that breaks. Which one is more unseemly? So the one that's on the outside. Because the one that's on the inside typically is going to be concealed and covered. And so therefore, it didn't bother people as much if the interior strap broke as opposed to the exterior strap that broke. And so the Gemara says, look, if you have a sandal that where one strap broke and you want to go ahead and save a little bit of face, so what you could do is as follows. You could just simply move it. If, let's say, for example, it's the exterior strap of the left sandal. So you just simply take off the sandal off the left, put it on the right. Now it becomes the interior of the right. That's not so bad. That's all in the thought process of the Gemara. So the Gemara now wants to know what exactly would be the status of a sandal where one strap broke. So the Gemara says as follows: Amalei midikam ataris Rav Yochanan alibed Rav Yehuda shema min ahalachik Rav Yehuda. He says, I'll tell you the answer. The answer is that we know that Rav Yochanan explains the brisa according to Rav Yehuda. Therefore, Rav Yochanan is clearly expressing his view, which is that the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda. We're going to learn together in just a moment that Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that when one strap breaks, so it is going to be a no longer a kli, and it therefore is going to be muksa. This is all the shita of Rav Yehuda. Now, Rav Yehuda is argued by the Chachamim, but since Rav Yochanan goes out of his way to explain a brisa like Rav Yehuda, so therefore we see that Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Yehuda. And as a result of that, we see there, therefore, that according to Rav Yochanan, when one strap breaks, it in fact loses its status of being kli. If it's no longer kli on Shabbos, it now becomes muksa. That is, right now, the conclusion. Now, Gemara is going to get a little bit complicated over the next couple of minutes, because what the Gemara is going to do is do a search. Where did we have this ambiguous brisa? Where do we see Rav Yochanan clearly siding with Rav Yehuda, explaining it like Rav Yehuda? So that's going to be that's going to take us now through the next bit of Gemara. In fact, it's going to take us to the Amud Beis of today's daf. But just so that we get the basic point of the Gemara, because Rav Yochanan subscribed to Rav Yehuda's viewpoint, which we haven't seen yet, so therefore we know that Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that when one strap breaks, it no longer is a kli, it therefore is mukta, and that's why Rav Yirmiyah Abaye had to deal with the question of, can we go ahead and reuse the sandal where the strap broke on Shabbos? And again, Rav Yirmiyah was given an allowance, and Abaye wasn't. But even when Rav Yirmiyah was given an allowance, it's only when you can make a makeshift strap on Shabbos. Mahi. So with all this stated, where exactly do we find this brisa? D'tanya, we learned from the following brisa. Sandal shenifsiku shtei aznavu shtei tarsiyosav. If I have a sandal where two straps broke, now over here there are two descriptions over here regarding the straps. One's called the aznav, the ears, and the other one is called the tarsiosav. And Rashi does go through some trouble trying to explain the difference between them. And I'll tell you what, here, if I had a picture, it'd be great. I don't have a picture right now. I bet you do. So I don't have a picture right now. But anyway, but the point is that we're just simply assuming that it's either got two forms of a strap, one called Aznayim, the other one called Tarsiosav. The point over here is that according to the Tanakhama, if they both break, or the kaf is clearly the sole. In fact, Rashi uses the word sole. If the sole breaks, it's no longer a shoe, and it's no longer clean, it's no longer Mekabel Tuma. Now, just by the way, note over here, our discussion in this brisa is regarding Tumat Tahara. What the Gemara is going to do is basically borrow the definition. Whatever the definition is of a kli regarding Tumat Tahara is going to be the same definition vis-a-vis Muksa. And as we discuss Muksa, we're going to see a lot of this. Because Muksa basically is, if it's not a kli, it's Muksa. Well, how do I know if it is or it isn't a kli? Whatever its definition is vis-a-vis Tumat Tahara, which the Mishnayos and Kalim spend a lot of time discussing, 30 parakim of that discussion. So if it's a kli vis-a-vis Tumat Tahara, so now it's going to be a kli vis-a-vis Muksa. And if it's not a kli vis-a-vis Tumat Tahara, it's not going to be a kli regarding Muksa. Good. So with all that stated, just understand that we're really focusing right now on Tumat Tahara, but then we're going to take our definitions and bring it here to Shabbos. Now, achas me'aznavo, achas me'tarsiosavo, shenito rova kaf shelo tame. If, however, one strap broke, either one ozen or one tarsi broke, or let's say you didn't lose the whole sole. You just lost the majority of the sole. The shoe is still a shoe. Now, the way the Mishnah expresses this is it's tameh, which means that it's still a kli and it still has susceptibility to tumah. So we could just simply see this brisa, and say it's still a kli. That is all the shita of the Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and if the kapanim is tameh rechitzona tahor, Rabbi Yehuda says it depends which strap broke. If the interior strap broke, it's still a shoe for the reasons that we explained already. Because an interior strap that broke, not a big deal. It's not as unseemly. If the exterior strap broke, so then that's an eyesore. And it no longer has the status of a kli. So in this brisa, we have a disagreement between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Chachamim's position is one strap breaking, still a shoe, still a sandal. According to Rav Yehuda, it depends which strap. Interior strap breaks, it's still a sandal. Exterior strap breaks, no longer a sandal. Okay, that's the Braisa and the Machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Yehuda. Next step. Where does Rav Yochanan side on this? That's going to be the Gemara's next step. The Amar Ulavitem Rav Babrachanam Rav Yochanan Kamachlokas and Yintoma. Just like we have a debate regarding the definition of a kli and a sandal regarding Tuma, Kach Machlokas and Yishabbos. We're also going to have the same debate as it relates to Shabbos. Avalola inyan chalitza, but not vis-a-vis chalitza. Shoes come in to the arena of halacha in three occasions. One, Tuma Tahara. Two, Hilcha Shabbos and Muksa. Three, regarding the mitzvah of chalitza. In the case where the Yavam does not want to marry his Yavama sister-in-law, so then you go through the mitzvah of chalitza, which involves a shoe. Now, Rav Yochanan is going according to whom? Meaning, we have a debate regarding Tumah. We have a debate regarding Shabbos, but not regarding Chalitza. Now, let's decipher what Rav Yochanan meant. Ilema liba de Rabbanan. Maybe he's following the Chacham. And the Gemara says, unlikely. Midila inyan Tumah mana havei, because consider, one strap breaks according to the Chachamim. What is it? A shoe. Linyan Shabbos nami mana havei. That means that Rav Yochanan says that for Shabbos, what is it? A shoe. Avalola chalitza delav manahu. But by chalitza, if one strap breaks, it's not a shoe. The Gemara says that can't possibly be. The Hatanan we learned in the Mishnah in Yavamos. Chalso shosmol biyamin chalitza sak sheira. You take the sandal off the left foot and you put it on the right foot. The chalitza would be a kosher chalitza. Chalitza has to be done off the right foot. That's that's the Mishnah in Yavamos. And even though it's a left sandal that was put onto the right foot, b'di'evet, that would be fine. And basically what we see over here is that the standards of shoe for chalitza are actually less, they're actually lower than the standard of a shoe for Tumah Tahara and standard for a shoe for Shabbos. And so the Gemara says, here's what's inconceivable. If it has the status of a shoe for Shabbos, and it has the status of a shoe for Tumah Tahara, of course it's going to have the status of a shoe for Chalitza. So when Rav Yochanan made his statement, it can't be within the Chachamim because it simply doesn't make any sense. Alaliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Ah, so it's going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And here's how it's going to sound. Midilin Yintoma Lav Manhu. We're talking about the exterior strap having been broken. According to Rabbi Yehuda, in the arena of Tumah Tahara, not a shoe. Linyan Shabbos nami lav manahu. In the arena of Shabbos, also not a shoe. Therefore, muksa. Avalola chalitza de manahu. So, but when it comes to chalitza, it is in fact going to be a shoe because, again, the threshold of a shoe for chalitza is a lower threshold. That is now how we're going to understand Rav Yochanan. It only makes sense, assuming that he goes like Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, I'm not so sure over here. It makes so much sense. So the Gemara says, I only understand how by chalitza, if I take the sandal off the left and put it on the right, it would work, but that's only if it was a shoe on the left foot. In our current situation, where the exterior strap of the left sandal broke, it doesn't serve as a sandal for the left foot. It no longer can be used interchangeably for the right. So the Gemara says, I don't even think that Rabbi Yehuda would agree in such a situation. In fact, we know that Rabbi Yehuda says that if the exterior strap broke, it's no longer a shoe. Amalav manahu. So the Gemara says, so I don't even think by chalitza, I agree with you. The threshold of a shoe is lower when it comes to chalitza. But even here, it doesn't hit the threshold. Because the left sandal where the exterior strap broke is not going to be a sandal. It doesn't have the status of a sandal. And under these circumstances, I can't just simply move it over to the right and use it for chalitza. So the Gemara says, okay, a redaction. La'olam aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. But we're still going to stay on the same basic track. That Rabbi Yochanan is following the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. But what we're going to do is we're amending Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Ema v'chein lechalitza. And here's how we're going to understand it. It's not a shoe for Tumah Tahara. It's not a shoe for Shabbos. And it's not a shoe for Chalitza. Now, what about the fact that by chalitza we know that you could take the left and put it on the right? But the Gemara says, Heicha, that's only in the circumstances. We turn to the top of the Amud Beis. That's only when it was a useful shoe for the left. When it has the status of a shoe for the left, you took it off the left foot, you put it on the right foot. Under those circumstances, it would be a good chalitza. But if it was not a good sandal for the left, it therefore no longer can serve as a sandal for the right foot. Good. What we have now is basically gone over Rav Yochanan making the statement, which is that whatever is true regarding Tumah is true regarding Shabbos, and with the amended version of Rav Yochanan, and it's also true regarding Chalitza, all this only can work under the assumption that Rav Yochanan is siding with Rav Yehuda. Rashi over here, by the way, you can see the Rashi where he starts on the Amud Aleph and goes to the top of the Amud Beis. It doesn't work if you assume he goes like the Chachamim. Rashi speaks it out over here. Read the Rashi inside. I'm not going to do it right now. But it only works assuming like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that when the exterior strap breaks, it's not a shoe, not Lagabe. Just go over each one of the checkbox. Not Lagabe Tamatahara, not Lagabe Shabbos, and not even Lagabe Chalitza. Isn't there a lower threshold by Chalitza? The Gemara says, yes, there is. But over here, it doesn't even hit that lower threshold. Because the only way that you could take the left sandal and put it onto the right foot is only if it works as a left sandal. According to Rav Yehuda, it doesn't work as a left sandal, therefore it cannot be put onto the right foot. Okay. Well, mi amar Rav Yochanan hachi, the Gemara, however, persists in this discussion. And the Gemara says, wait one second. What about the fact that Rav Yochanan says, and the Gemara quotes this time and again throughout Shas, the Hamar Rav Yochanan halachi kistam Mishnah, we know that Rav Yochanan says that when there's an anonymous Mishnah, that means that that's the halach of its non. And we learned in a Mishnah, sandal shenifsika achas me'aznav v'tikna tamei midra. If I have a sandal where one strap broke and we fixed it, it still has the status of a sandal subject to tumas medra. We know, we go over this time and again, when a zav, a zava, a nida, or a yaledet sits on something that's meant to be sat on, lies down on something that's meant to be lie down on, or in this case, a shoe, which is obviously designed to support the weight of the person. So when all the weight is put on that item, the item now becomes tumas medra. The zava nida yaledet is an avatama. The shoe is also going to be an avatama as well. And even though one strap broke, this is a Mishnah in Kalim, even though one strap broke, it still is subject to tumas medras, meaning it's going to be a shoe. Now let's skip the parentheses. We're going to come back to it, but let's skip it right now. My love, lo shna pnimis v'lo shna chitzona. Now this Mishnah over here, it's a stam Mishnah, doesn't seem to discriminate whether it's the exterior strap or the interior strap. So the Gemara says lo, pnimis dafka. The Gemara says no. The Mishnah over there is only talking about where the interior strap broke, meaning we can assign this Mishnah to the sheet of Rav Yehuda because we could limit the Mishnah to only where the interior strap broke. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Avachitzona nami tahor. You mean to tell me that if the exterior strap broke, so then this sandal is no longer a kli. That's what you mean to tell me. So the Gemara says, so interesting, because keep reading on in that Mishnah. Ihachi adni. Now the Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah, now this was in the parentheses, this is what we skipped. But now we're going to be seeing it inside, because now, Nifzika Shnia, the Tikna Tarim and Amidras of Altame Magamidras. Let's say the second strap broke. And even though I fixed the second strap, it's no longer subject to Tumas Medras, but it's going to be subject to Tame Magamidras. It came into contact with Medras. I don't want to spend too much time on this point. Just right now, suffice to say that when the second strap broke, it's no longer the original sandal. Even though we reconstructed, even though we fixed both straps, it's no longer the original sandal. The tumas medras, the status of it being an avatama, now has gone away. As it goes away, this is an idea that we've encountered a number of times. So what it does, it ends up touching. What does it touch? It touches itself. It's a somewhat of a difficult concept, but it touches itself. So even though the tumas medras goes away, but it came into contact with tumas medras, so now it is a rishon l'tuma. Okay. If you didn't understand it, for now, it's okay. Well, we're not coming back to it. Anyway, the point is, with the second strap breaking, it is now no longer a functional sandal. Even after it's reconstructed, it will be subject to tumah from this point going forward, but it is not going to be a, it's not going to be a, the, it's not the original sandal. Now, here's the Gemara's problem. You assigned that Mishnah and Kalim like Rav Yehuda, making a distinction between the inner strap versus the outer strap. The Mishnah over there is also trying to make a contrast. If the Mishnah were following the opinion of Rav Yehuda, the contrast would have been really easy. And the Gemara now makes the argument. Niflog bedida ba medvar mamon shenifstika pnimis avachitzona tahor. When would it be that the sandal is in fact going to retain its status of being a kli? Only when the interior strap broke. But if the exterior strap broke, so then it's no longer kli. That's a much better distinction. Why would the Mishnah go to a scenario where, oh, you know when it's no longer kli? When two straps break. If the Mishnah is found like Rav Yehuda, that distinction is so unnecessary. Make a better distinction between the interior strap versus the exterior strap. So Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef tehei Mishnah Sena besandal sheish lo arba znaim va'arba tarsi yosef shalo lishbor dvar shal Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef says, well, I'll tell you what we can do. We'll give a pshat. Admittedly, it's a really difficult pshat, but we're going to say it. And that is that Mishnah in Kalim is talking about where this particular sandal had not two, but four straps in total, two on each side. And maybe over here, what the Mishnah means is that when the two straps broke, it meant the two interior straps broke. Maybe that's what the Mishnah means. And under those circumstances, because now so much of it is broken, it's no longer clean. It is admittedly a difficult shot in the Mishnah, but we could say it so as not to break the words of Rav Yochanan, meaning we want to defend Rav Yochanan. So we could say that, and we could still retain that Rav Yochanan fundamentally agrees with Rav Yehuda, and he also says that the halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. We just learned the Stam Mishnah together, and in order to preserve our understanding of Rav Yochanan, we're going to give a somewhat forced shot within that Mishnah in Kalim. Now the Gemara says, now on this issue of a sandal and having one strap being broken, who does Allah fall like? So we have a tradition that Rav says Allah is like Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yochanan Amar ain't Allah like Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yochanan says Allah is not like Rav Yehuda. And that goes against everything we just built. The entire building that we just built over here in the Gemara. The entire argument was that Rav Yochanan sides with Rav Yehuda, and meanwhile, the Gemara tells us that we have a tradition that Rabbi Yochanan does not fall like Rabbi Yehuda. Omiyamar Rabbi Yochanan hachi v'hamad demetarit Rabbi Yochanan libet Rabbi Yehuda. Shema menak Rabbi Yehuda sfirilei. And the Gemara asks exactly that question. We just went through how we think Rabbi Yochanan really does subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda. So Amarai ninu aval libet Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara ends off the discussion somewhat awkwardly. And the Gemara says we don't have a good tradition in terms of how does Rabbi Yochanan hold. Some say he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Some say he does not hold like Rav Yehuda. Amarai aliba de Rav Yochanan. Okay. When all is said and done, we are pretty much at the conclusion of this discussion. A sandal where one strap breaks, according to the Tanakhama, it's still a sandal. According to Rav Yehuda, it depends on whether the interior strap broke versus the exterior. The interior, which is less seemly, is not going to remove the status of the sandal. The exterior strap, where it is more seemly, it is more conspicuous, so therefore the sandal does lose its status of being a sandal. In terms of the Amoraim, who do they follow like? So in terms of Rav Yochanan, unsure, unclear. Some say that he follows like Rav Yehuda, some say he follows like the Chachamim. We also learned together that Rav follows like the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Okay, so halakhically, it's certainly a complex discussion. We are finishing up over here. We are in the middle of the Amud Beis, of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. And by Tanan Hassam, we start with the Mishnah. And the Mishnah teaches us, Kol Kli Balei Batim Shirim Kerimonim. So we know that when does a Kli no longer have the status of being a Kli? When there's a hole in it. It's got to be a gaping hole. How big a hole? One where a pomegranate can go through. At that point in time, there's no functionality to the Kli whatsoever. The Kli is no longer Mekabel Tumo. We've gone over this point numerous times throughout Shas. Good. Now, by Chizkia, Nikiv Kamosi Zayis V'Sasmo, V'Chazav Nikiv Kamosi Zayis V'Sasmo, Ad She'ishlim Olamoti Rimon Mahu. Let's say the following. We have a hole in this Kli. It's not that big. A hole is big enough where an olive can go through, but nowhere near big enough where a pomegranate can go through. So what do? We patch that hole. Another hole came, which was another size of Zayis. We patched that hole. And now we are aggregating one hole, another second hole, a third hole, a fourth hole. Even with all the patchwork, if I look at all the holes from the sum total, it's large enough where a pomegranate would have gone through. What is the status of that kli? Does that kli still have the status of being a kli? Or now, if we were to aggregate all the holes together and add them up, we would see that it has enough where a pomegranate would fall through. So Amale Rav Yochanan, Rebbe Shaniswan Sandal, Shanifsika Achas Meaznav, Vitikna Tame, Medris, Nifsika Shnia, Vitikna Tarmina Medris, Avatame Maga Medris. So Rav Yochanan says, wait one second. I know the answer based on the Mishnah that we spent a lot of time today discussing. I have a sandal where one strap fell off, still a sandal. Even if I patched it up, the second strap falls off, no longer a sandal, even if I patch that up as well. What do you see over here? I don't understand. After the first strap fell off, we patched it with a new strap. Then when the second strap falls off, there was still the other strap that we already patched on. So I don't understand. Why are you telling me that two straps fell off when the reality is, when the second one fell off, the first one was already replaced? I don't get it. The Amart line, but you taught us, Allah, Panim Chadash is Ba'alakan. But you explained to us that Mishnah. You see, once you're replacing both straps, this is no longer the original shoe. It's now a new shoe. What is in Halacha is described as Panim Chadash. The Gemara uses this terminology a couple of times throughout Shas to describe where basically it's a new entity. It's a new reality. And so therefore, whatever historically it was, even though right now it's a functional sandal, it's a different functional sandal. It's not the original functional sandal. So it may have had too much medrash, but by the time the second strap breaks, even though when the second strap breaks, I already replaced the first one, but since now with the second strap breaking, I'm looking at it and I am going to aggregate the total of how many straps broke. It's two now that broke. So it no longer is the original sandal. Same thing is true regarding the kli. If I have a kazayas hole and I patch it up in another kazayas hole, what do we see over here? That we can total up all the holes. And if at one point or another, you have enough holes, even when they're patched up, you have enough holes where a pomegranate would fall through. This is no longer the original kli. Panim chadashas balakan, it's a new entity. Now, hachanami panim chadashas balakan, we're saying the same thing over here. Kari alaha leis dein var inish. He was so amazed with that answer. He says, you know what? This person is so impressive. Describing Rav Yochanan. He's not even human. Now, Igadarm, in another version of his praise to Rav Yochanan, Kagon Dein Bar Inish. This person, he's a real man. Okay, obviously differences in terms of what would be the best praise, but clearly he loved the answer that was given. Amar Ibzera, Amar Ravabar, Zimuna, Imrishona B'nai Malachim. If the earlier generations were the sons of Malachim, right, hyperbole, but describing their level of Kedusha that they've obtained. Anu b'nei anashim. So we're humans. V'im rishonim b'nei anashim. Now, if we're going to describe the earlier generations as just simply humans, anu kechamorim, we're donkeys. V'lo kechamor shel Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And let's not flatter ourselves. We're not even like one of those donkeys that were owned by Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. V'shel Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. These are famous donkeys that come up throughout a couple of Gemaras and Shas, described as these donkeys were so religious they would not eat not kosher food. Tevel was served to them. These donkeys wouldn't eat the tevel. So let's not give ourselves that much credit. We're not those donkeys. Elikashar chamarim, we're just simply standard donkeys. The idea over here the Gemara is expressing is niskatnu adoros, that as the generations go, so we become smaller and smaller, right? It's the opposite of evolution, right? We are, from a spiritual standpoint, so we are further away from Mamed Har Sinai, now over 3,300 years away from Mamed Har Sinai. And with every generation that goes further away from Mamed Har Sinai, so Niskanu Adaros, the Gemara is over here expressing this idea. Why is that germane to our discussion over here? Not clear. But anyway, but the Gemara takes the opportunity to describe this idea of Niskanu Adaros. Let's finish up to the Mishnah. Nodos Yain V'Shemen, now we're talking about that we're back to time kosher. Going over some of the other examples that were given in the Mishnah. And again, we're going to do the same thing we did in the beginning of Shir today. And that is just simply explain what the chiddush is of these cases of the Mishnah, meaning once I know the rule, something is tied on a daily basis, it's mutar lagamre, so then just we can figure out the example. The examples that are given in the Mishnah are specific, the Gemara is explaining why. So the Gemara now is talking about the tying up of these containers. They're obviously not hard containers, in other words, they have straps on them. and they're tied to hold wine, to hold oil, pshita, it's obvious. L'tzricha de islay tarte, une. So the Gemara says it's a double strap situation, much like we described regarding the wrap that was worn by the woman. The Gemara over here describes it as being a double wrap situation. And again, the concern is that I'm not tying and untying both of them. I'll untie one and that'll be enough, but I'll leave the other one tied. So the Gemara, that's the Havamina. The Maskan is no. You'll tie and untie both of them on a regular basis. It's there for Mutal Gamre. Kedera Shabasar, also some sort of container holding the meat, which is tied together. So the Gemara says, well, it happens to be that this container has two portals of exit in which one could take out the meat. Again, it's a similar idea, where if I tie it up in one, there's still another way to get the meat out from another exit point. And so therefore, the concern would be that when I tie up the top one, I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to untie it on a daily basis. And that's the Havamin, and the Maskana is no, that's not how it's used. It's typically used where it's tied and untied on a regular basis. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer Koshra. So Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, we're going back to the Mishnah. And at the end of the Mishnah, the sheet of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Koshrin Lifnea Behema Bishur Shalotete. Right? You want to pen up the area, so that the animal doesn't escape. As long as you're tying and untying on a daily basis, so Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says that would be allowed. Pshita, the Gemara says it's obvious. Lo tzricha d'isrei tarte. I'm sorry. Lo tzricha d'isrei tarte isrei. The Gemara says we're talking about where there are two ropes penning in the animal. So ma'u d'tema chaneminai betulim afil kamash malan. So the Gemara, again, it's the same basic ahav amina that I might have thought that what he's going to do is tie and untie only one of them, but not necessarily both of them. And the Chiddush is, no, that's not how it operates. It operates where it's tied and untied. Both of them are tied and untied on a daily basis. And therefore, it's Motel Gamre. I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. We're on the top of Kufti Gimel Amid Aleph. Halacha ke Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. In fact, Halacha does follow like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Amalei Abaye Halacha Mechlal de Pligi. Now, wait one second. In the Mishnah, was Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov arguing with the Chachamim? Not clear. And if you're telling me that the Halacha follows like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, the way you're assuming it, the way you're understanding it is that he's arguing against some sort of unseen other position. Is that right? So Amrlei, my nafkalach mina. So he says, what do you care? Meaning, let's say he's arguing with somebody, let's say he's not arguing with somebody. The conclusion's going to be the same. I'm telling you the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. If he's just simply explaining the Tanakama, if he's just giving another example, no one's arguing his position, good. And even if somebody is arguing with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, but I'm telling you, the halacha falls like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So what difference is it to you? So Amalei, Gemara, Gamar, Zimurta, Tehei. You think that learning Gemara is like singing? Meaning you could just simply say the words without proper understanding? That's not the way you learn. The way you learn is that you have to understand that there may be a shita that goes against Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Then it becomes important to understand what is the svar behind Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. What's the svar behind those who argue against him? And when you're learning, you have to really have insight and understanding in what you're learning. And you don't just simply say over the Mishnah, you don't simply say over positions without fully understanding. It's not like a song. And we just saw this criticism a couple of days ago in the Daf. The Gemara over here reiterates this idea that learning Mishnayos, and for that matter, any part of Torah Shebaal Peh, has to come with it a certain level of understanding to the best of our ability. Okay. Let's recap and let's review our day today. We started off with the Mishnah on yesterday's Daf regarding the examples of the types of tying that are mutar lechatchila or mutar legamre. And they are tying up the wrap that is worn by the woman, tying up the head covering. Why are those examples given the Mishnah? The Gemara explained because they had chidushim. I might have thought otherwise. The Gemara says that's why the Mishnah gave those examples. And the Gemara explained exactly what the Havamina was. The Gemara spent most of its day today talking about shoes and sandals. Shoes and sandals, tying the shoes and sandals can sometimes be an issa deraisa, sometimes an issa derabanan, sometimes it is mutter legamre. When's an issa deraisa? So I'll say for both, shoes and sandals. If the ties that are made are the knots that are made by the actual craftsman himself in order to hold the shoe or the sandal together, that is permanent. According to the Rambam, it's also a kesher sho'uman, and therefore it is an issa daraisa. If we're talking about where the tying and untying is not done on a daily basis, like the Gemara's examples today, the shoes worn by the rabbis, or in the case of the sandals that are worn where you basically can slide them on and slide them off. And occasionally they're tied and untied. That's an issur derabanan when you tie them or untie them. And finally, if they're tied and untied on a daily basis, that is mutter lagamre. According to Rashi, because it's done so on a daily basis. According to the Rambam, because it's done on a daily basis. And it also lacks the idea that it's a professional knot. With that stated, the Gemara then talked about what happens when you have a sandal and one of the straps breaks on Shabbos. What is the result of that? We saw two stories this morning on the Amud Aleph, one involving Rabbi Yirmiya, the other one involving Abaye, where whether or not one can make a makeshift strap on Shabbos in order to be able to take the sandal with you. The discrepancy between the two rulings, the Gemara explains why the discrepancy. And then a lengthy discussion in the Gemara today, and that is that we know that in the world of Tumah Tahara, there is a debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim say that when one strap of the sandal breaks, it's still a sandal. When, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it depends which one, the interior or the exterior strap. The interior strap breaks, it is still a sandal. Exterior strap breaks, it's no longer a sandal. And then a lengthy discussion in the Gemara today, who do we follow? Do we follow like Rabbi Yehuda? Do we follow like the Chachamim? The Gemara argued, it took up most of our time today, that Rabbi Yochanan follows like Rabbi Yehuda. How do I know that? Because Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that only works in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. We had to modify the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, but after modifying it, it comes out that when the exterior strap breaks, it's not a kli for Tumah Tahara, it's not a shu l'gabi Shabbos, meaning it's muksa, and it can't even be used for chalitza as well. That's a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. It only works within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, so therefore Rabbi Yochanan follows like Rabbi Yehuda. After all that work we put in this morning, establishing that Rabbi Yochanan follows like Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara now notes that there is a variant position of Rabbi Yochanan that he doesn't follow like Rabbi Yehuda. And admittedly, that gets a little bit frustrating, but that's where the Gemara ended on that topic. Aggregating different breakings, putting them together in order to get to the requisite shear so it's no longer a kli. So the Gemara asked a question regarding a kli where it has an olive-sized hole, and then I patched it, and then it has more olive-sized holes. Is that going to get to the shear of a rimon? The answer is yes, it will. And because with all the patches that are put together, by the time now I have an aggregate total of the size of rimon, panim chadashos balakan. The Gemara says, and how do I know that? Because I know that from the case of the sandal. And finally, we finished off the daf today by going over the other examples in the Mishnah and why they are chidushim. The tying up of the jugs for the jars for the yain v'shemen, tying up the packaging of the meat. They are chidushim. The Gemara explained why they're chidushim. And finally, the shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that if I'm penning an animal where I'm tying and untying it every day, that's also mutar lagamrei. One, what's the chiddush of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? And two, do we pass on like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? The Gemara says we do. The only question is he arguing with anybody? And the Gemara left that question unresolved.